The LBC News panel. Lots to talk about here. We have the writer and comedian Angela Barnes, also the leader of Hammersmith and Fulham Council, Stephen Cowan, with us here in the studio. Lots of stories to talk about, including this one. It's story two.
I have made it very, very clear to her that I expect an apology from her for making such a false and outrageous claim.
How do you do that, Deputy Prime Minister? You contact her office?
No, she's obviously been busy in wherever they were. I'll be going to Glasgow. No, I've sent her a letter.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Strong letter?
Yeah.
Very strong?
Yes.
It just feels embarrassing, doesn't it?
Very strong. That's the deepest I've heard, Nick Clegg. If you just listen to the very beginning, can we just hear that again, Will? Just the first kind of, I suppose, first two or three words of what he says. Have a listen to this. No, we can't hear that again. In fact, Will can't even hear us out there by the sound of things. Never mind, we'll try and listen to it again later. Right, OK, so there it is. There's Nick Clegg. He's not happy with Theresa May. No. And he says it's a new low in coalition politics. Angela, what are you making of this?
I mean, Is it
because it's nearing an election?
Of course. And it's just broken down. I mean, it was never that solid, was it? And it's just, they're not even pretending anymore to be a cohesive coalition. Now it's, you know, the leader of the Lib Dems is going, she called me a, you know, and... Yeah. Yeah, it's completely broken down, and obviously, yeah, they're separating from each other as a general election.
I have to say, Stephen, when I first heard this, and I know as a Labour man, you're probably thinking this is fantastic, but there was a bit of me, and I happened to be listening to it live on LBC when that went out, and this challenge was issued, and then this comment was made, and the sort of need for an apology, I suppose, was issued in a coded kind of way. He said he'd sent a letter. I did think, the first thing I thought was, I didn't think, this is going to rock the coalition, partly because I didn't think it was strong enough to rock the coalition, and secondly, we're so near another election that it wouldn't make much difference at all. But I agree with Angela, it did sort of feel as if this is the point where we'll hear lots of little things said on both sides, where they start to divide away a little bit, in order to appear to be two separate parties in the next election.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of that. I mean, you know, it's hard to watch this type of thing without feeling deeply sad to see this relationship break up. It's like a marriage falling apart. And the way he said, I've sent her a letter. I mean, that's some letter he sent, isn't it? So, I think it's sort of inevitable to a degree that it was always going to split like this. And it's slightly comedic in the way it's happened and the insults that are being thrown. You know, it would be better if they were standing in the street shouting at each other, I think. It would be more... Better, certainly better television.
Do you think that's what we should encourage politicians to
do? Absolutely. I mean, that just felt like, you know, when your friends have broken up, you're talking to one of them, and she said this, and then you talk to the other one, and he said that, and it's just like, can't you just sort this out between you? This is embarrassing, all of
that
us.
Would be better,
you
know? Wouldn't it?
But it is comedic, you're right, I think, to just...
Have you got to be careful, though, Stephen, what you say about the Lib Dems? Because you might be in government with them yourself in 2015.
I'm not going to be in government with them. I think the issue with the Lib Dems is, and I have knocked on so many doors over the years and heard people saying that they vote Lib Dem, and in the most recent elections, we couldn't find anyone to admit having done it.
Why do you think that is? Because I think there's a great... If I was a politics student right now, this is where my dissertation would be, I would argue... that Nick Clegg and the Lib Dems are the most successful political party in a Western democracy in the last 100 years.
I would love to read my dissertation.
What I would base that on is not a personal view. It's merely the fact that this is a guy that has 57 MPs and has got 75% of his manifesto into government. Now, and he's fallen on one policy... Might have been one that they made a big thing about, but one policy, a policy that is supported by your party and the Conservatives, that of charging students further education fees. And it's just that one which doesn't even affect 5% of the country, but the perception of that one policy has been enough to almost down a party.
I'm not quite sure that's right. I mean, I think what the Lib Dems...
That would be my first paragraph.
Yes, but I can help you with a second. I think the Lib Dems for a long time argued they were the most left-wing mainstream party, and won votes from people who sincerely believe that. And then when they became part of the government. They supported radical policies like the bedroom tax, like the austerity budget, like cuts to very vulnerable groups of people. And I think those people who had voted Lib Dem felt a large degree of buyer's remorse. They got something very different to what they'd expected. They got
a That's what happens with a coalition.
I'm not sure that should happen. I mean, the...
But in that case, we do away with coalitions.
Well, personally, I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you are. And there is something that is... apparently, you know, when you talk to other countries where they've had coalition, apparently this always happens. You can't... You know, you have to... No, nobody ever really... You know, a lot of sort of Tory voters who pounded the streets talking about what they were going to do with criminal justice, and they had to ditch all of that because the Lib Dems said, that's the bit you've got to ditch. No one ever talks about that. It's because we're so focused on the tuition fee, because Nick Clegg went out with those massive contracts and got everybody to publicly sign one.
Yeah,
before, what was he thinking of? If he hadn't done that, nobody had remembered any of this.
It's not just that. It's almost every radical Thatcherite policy that was put in place was supported by Lib Dem votes, and it was the badness of the politics into a degree, because you remember they first fell out about Lords reform. No, I'd like Lords reform. It's hardly the issue to fall out about when they are bringing misery to a whole bunch of Middle England and certainly to the poorest people in society.
Do you think that's what they're doing?
I think that's certainly what happened in the early years of the budget. You just need to look at the homeless figures, you just need to look at the numbers of street sleepers, you just need to look at the cuts to the NHS.
Nobody ever became homeless 12 months after 2010 because of something... I mean, a lot of you guys were saying, oh, look, the homeless figures have gone up, you know, and there's riots, and then no cuts had even come in.
You take the... I think the homeless has gone up, it's in today's Evening Standard. It's a
pretty strong trend. Whether that's because of the government or whether it's because of... other factors, you know,
you can definitely trace the bedroom tax, and you can definitely trace housing benefits cuts and local housing allowance cuts to the increase in homelessness, and I think that has been a problem. But you look at the NHS, look at the opening ceremony of the Olympics and how close to the heart that is of the British people, and then look what they've done in terms of closing A&Es across the country, shutting down places, they're trying to shut down Charing Cross Hospital, which we're fighting them on. All of this has been supported by Nick Clegg without much of a whisper, and I think that's where people begin to get dissatisfied.
I think that's true, and I only put this to you, so it's not an exercise for you to have to justify everything that happened previously, but I've been doing this about 15 years, and I can never think of a time when I couldn't have done a phone-in about A&E department closing, a cancer department closing, a maternity unit closing, a radiography department closing, and that's been the case under every government. There's always been areas that have closed and merged, and that one's become... privatised, and that one's become merged with that health. That's always been the case.
So it's always been modernisation.
So when you put the Tories in charge, it just looks so evil, doesn't it?
You will remember as I...
When Ed closes a hospital, it'll be fine, because it'll be said he's doing it.
Ed's not closing hospitals.
Is that a fact? Under an Ed Miliband government, no hospital will close?
I'm talking on behalf of Hammersmith and Fulham Council.
Okay.
Clearly, as far as we're concerned, no one's closing any hospitals. But in terms... I remember... people on trolleys in corridors in hospitals. I remember people every winter, people panicking about the flu epidemic, and all that went in the Labour years because there were record levels of investment, certainly after 2001 when we put that penny on national insurance. So all of that was record levels. But what you've had since in 2010 was a hospital change which had no electoral mandate, it didn't appear in people's manifestos, and has seen some of the most radical cuts to hospital services, certainly in London and across the country. And that's where people get dissatisfied with mainstream politics, because they expect to vote and to have people to do stuff. And when they don't, they pay a price, which is what's happening to Nick Clegg right now.
We will be back with story number 3 in just a second. We might get away.